We have been discussing the kind of muktzah in which that which is muktzah is something that's not a utensil. It's really not made by man. And even if it's made by man, it's not something that's used in and of itself. Something that has to be incorporated or built into something else, but has no use in and of itself, self-standing. Some things that occur in nature, like leaves that fall from trees, sand, pebbles, stones, rocks, and then materials that are put together by man, such as bricks, raw materials that have not yet been shaped into a utensil, sheets of metal, these are all muktzah machmas gufo. Even if they have been shaped, but if it's not shaped into a usable thing, that also still might be muktzah. So we find that coins are muktzah. And that's a kind of muktzah that's more severe than a keli shemelachto le'isur. It's the kind of muktzah which you cannot say, well, I need its place, it's in the way, I'm going to move it because of tzarech makomo. There is no permission to move something that's muktzah machmas gufo. It may not be moved l'tzarech makomo. The same thing applies with the other types of muktzah that we will discuss. It's only a keli shemelachto le'isur, where it's not muktzah for any other reason but because it's used to do a particular malacha. That's the kind of muktzah where we are allowed l'tzarech makomo to move the item, or if you're going to use it for a permissible use, l'tzarech gufo. It used to be that people would have cinder blocks, very commonly used as seating. They would take whatever's left over from a building project, and it would be very quickly and handily turned into an impromptu seat on which to rest. And that's why, if it's left over, the halacha said, and you know it's not set aside any longer, so these blocks would be used as seating. As soon as it turns into an extra building block, because the building's completed and you have no further need for it as building material, so immediately it becomes presumptively a seat or a potential seat, so it's not muktzah. But that was because they would live in circumstances in which that's how it would almost automatically start to become used. So it went from being muktzah because it was building material, and as soon as you don't need it as building material anymore because you've completed the project, so it automatically and by itself became non-muktzah. This would not apply today because we don't live in circumstances where these building blocks automatically turn into use as seating. We also don't even use blocks that are that big, and that therefore it's understood that when we have, bricks that have been used in a building or in an expansion of a building, and some of them are laying around, and they're not dedicated any longer for use in the building because the project's completed, and they're not piled up nicely, where you can say, clearly they're muktzah, somebody is preparing them to be used for building material, or they're going to be taken back, collected and taken back where they came from and used in some other building. They're just laying around, strewn around on the floor. Even whole bricks. They are muktzah. And they cannot be moved. The only circumstance where you would be allowed to move them would be if they are left on a path where people have to walk, and it's going to be dangerous. They may not see the brick, particularly on Leil Shabbos Friday night, and so you are interested in moving them so that somebody doesn't fall. There you should move them, but try to move them with a leg, with your foot, rather than picking it up by hand. The same thing applies to other various types of muktzah machmas gufo that maybe fell from a tree, like a limb. Branch of a tree falls on Shabbos onto a sidewalk. Even if it's not your sidewalk, and you're not personally responsible for maintaining the walkway or the street or the sidewalk, it is dangerous. But that limb, that tree limb or branch, is muktzah. So one does not pick it up by hand, but yet because it's dangerous and someone might trip over it, we can move it and we should move it, but it should be moved to la'achar yad. La'achar yad meaning not directly by hand, but by foot, for example. You kick it, you can move it with both feet, you can kick it hard, you can push on it hard with both legs. That's all okay, because that's not direct tiltal. And it should be done because this is something that's conceivably dangerous and somebody could get hurt. So that's how it should be done, but it should be done. These are the ideas of removal of something that's muktzah and called muktzah machmas gufo, that may be moved because it could be dangerous to leave it, like, you know, right where it is. The same thing would apply, for example, with broken glass. Somebody breaks a glass on Shabbos, or comes upon broken glass in a place where somebody could get hurt. Somebody finds in the street, perhaps as they're walking to or from shul, a broken bottle, a jagged edge, and if someone by accident steps on it, it's so sharp, you know, these things could go right through the sole of a shoe and into a foot, chalila. So certainly it's muktzah, because it's a useless piece of glass. It's no longer a bottle. It's in the category of muktzah machmas gufo. You can't do anything with it. But you can and should move it out of the way because it's dangerous, so you kick it out of the way. You move it aside with your foot.
This is outside or this is inside your house?
Inside the house as well, if glass breaks inside the house. And you have a dangerous situation of small pieces of glass that have to be removed, you should preferably move them aside with a shinui. You should preferably not sweep it up with the broom, but you may have to because otherwise people are going to get hurt. So because of the fact that there's danger, and you certainly have to avoid that danger, and glass can be very dangerous, so if you have no other means but to use a broom, then that's what you would do. You would use a broom and sweep it up. There is also, in the case of Shabbos in the home, in a place where everybody is present and everybody is trying to enjoy the Shabbos, there's another reason why it's allowed to be moved, more so inside the house than outside, and that's because it disturbs the sense of menucha and the beauty of the home. It detracts from Kavod Shabbos to have dirt or broken pieces of glass laying around on your floor. So for the same reason that we say, I can't leave the bones of the chicken and shells of nuts sitting on my plate or on my table on Shabbos, even though they're muktzah, because they're useless. Once you take the shells off a peanut, a walnut, it's a useless shell. It has nothing to offer. It is not food, not for a person, not for an animal. There's nothing to do with it. It's waste. Waste is muktzah. But on the other hand, it cannot be allowed to sit where it is because it's so disruptive to you and it disturbs us to just have it there on our table. So for the same reason that you can remove that from the table because of what's called geraf shel re'i, which we'll talk about, that's the same reason why you'd be able to sweep up something that's on the floor that's also undesirable and causes your Shabbos to be somewhat disrupted. Dishes that have food on them,
no.
Or even not food, but just, you know, something that you, like large pieces of bones and of maybe rind nuts on the plate, you know, nut shells, shells of nuts on the plate. You can knock them off into the garbage. You can rinse the plate, but we can't wash them unless you need that plate for Shabbos, because that's something that you would be doing if you don't need it for Shabbos. For chol, you'll be doing it for the week to come, and you can't wash it for the purpose of next Shabbos or for the purpose of one of the days of the week. But you can cover them. You can pile them up nicely, and if you don't like the way that looks, you take a clean dish towel and cover them. Wow. Stacking plates that have much on top of them that's not clean is not going to be easy, and it would cause you to have some plates that are going to be in the way and very unbecoming to leave them out in the open. So that's why you can clear them with a fork or a knife or a spoon of what's on top of the plate and then rinse them so that it doesn't get smelly and so that it's unbecoming. You don't want that to happen. And then put them in the dishwasher where they belong, because that's exactly what you would do anyway during the week. It's not exclusively an act of hachana. If you have a full drawer of items that include items that are muktzah, and you have something that you need to get to, even if it's just in order to clean the top of the dish. In other words, you have something that you would typically use to clean the plates of what's sitting on top. Maybe a large spoon. Some people would use a large serving spoon to quickly move things off the plate. It might be more effective or faster than using a fork. Or if you want to take out a ladle or a serving spoon to remove the rest of the food on a serving platter, so that the food that you're putting away in the refrigerator has to be moved, and you want to take utensils out. So those utensils may be moved to move the food. Those utensils that are muktzah, that are on top of those utensils, may be moved so that you can get to the utensils which you want. So if you have a drawer, and in the drawer there are scissors, there are other kinds of utensils, maybe slotted spoons that are used for borer. They are muktzah. But underneath them you have a large serving spoon that you want to use, not to serve, but just to clean up or to remove the food from the pot in which it was cooked and transfer it over into a smaller pot. That's fine, because what you're doing is permissible. So taking out a serving spoon for that is permissible. Removing that which is in the way so that you can get to the serving spoon is also permissible, because what you're removing and taking out of the top of the drawer are kelim shemalachtam le'isr, which are allowed to be moved when they're in the way.